GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
Well, it ain't no woman, flesh and blood. It's that damned old road ego. Oh, well, it's bulls and blood. It's a dust and mud. It's a roar of a Sunday crowd. It's the white in his nose, the gold in the buckle. He'll win the next go round. It's boots and shafts, it's cowboy hats, it's spurs and latigo. It's the ropes and the reins and the joy and the pain, and they call the thing a rodeo.
Get ready for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. We believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Simply call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them at ky.deltadentalofkentucky. And we are continuing our preview of the Black Eyed Susan Day. We have two more stake races to go on today's card, the Pimlico Special and the Black Eyed Susan. And then we will get into tomorrow's card, another great race card. Who do you like here, Megan?
In the Pimlico Special? Oh, wait,
we're on the special, yep.
Yeah, okay.
And just a reminder, if you're listening today, you can find all of last hour's conversation about today's card on the app or at SoundCloud, any of the places that you can download any of the episodes from this station. So there mm-hmm. you go. Yeah.
There you go. I went with the three untreated in here for my top pick for Todd Pletcher, a guy who does very well in big spots and on big days. Greatest stakes races wins at 20% of the time. Joel Rosario aboard. He picks up the mount. He did ride this horse before in the Bluegrass last year, but that this colt wasn't going to win that day. I was a huge, huge fan of Essential Quality all season long. If you listen to our show, you know that. And Essential Quality won that day very impressively, highly motivated as well. And Ron Bauer, who actually would go on to win last year's Preakness Stakes. So that was a tough, tough field. You know, he didn't perform so well, this horse, two races back in the Mineshaft, but that was behind a horse named Olympiad, who did very well on, I can't remember if it was Oaks Day or Derby Day.
Derby Day this year.
Yeah, in the Ali Sheba. One of the better horses that we've been talking about as we, you know, get towards our next season championships, which is, of course, the Breeders' Cup in November. That's definitely a horse that'll be a part of the conversation in the big races coming up. And, of course, the big races in November at Keeneland. But, I think Untreated is a really, really solid horse. You know, he just needs that little bit of finish, but he sits off the pace. He usually puts himself in good spots. So I went there. First Captain would be another horse that I considered, the 8 at 5-1 for Luis Saez and Shug McGahee. Last time they put him in the Carter Handicap, that's a grade one race and a very tough one at that. They are putting blinkers on this horse. And why I think that's important is because In the past couple of races, he has not shown early speed. Oftentimes, with the addition of blinkers, horses will show a little bit more early foot in the beginning of the races, or rather throughout the races, hopefully, and be able to finish that. And I think that's the tactic here, because there are quite a few horses that like to come from off the pace. And if they can get this colt involved a little bit more early, and I think Luis Saez is an aggressive enough rider to do that, I think that's really going to be helpful. And take a look at the last workout, May 15th at Belmont. They put this horse over pretty quick, three furlongs over a muddy track, and oftentimes that kind of short, very fast work combined with the blinkers, they're just trying to add another element to the Son of Curlin, and I think that's for him to use his speed just a bit earlier.
Well, you mentioned a Pletcher earlier in Untreated. I'm on the other Pletcher here, Vindictive, the one. Agree with the Morning Line Maker here. I think has all of the makings of a horse that's going to love the added distance here, and so coming off of those deep tracks at Belmont and Aqueduct, I think he's really going to like the Pimlico surface. So I'll take, Pletcher and Joel Rosario hit at 18%. He hits at 26% in a significantly larger significantly larger sample size with Irad Ortiz. I think he's putting his best rider on his best horse. And so I will take Vindictive here, who is a winner in the past at both Saratoga and at Aqueduct. How about you, Dan?
Yeah, well, I mentioned earlier my friend Wayne Lister, who owns Ashview Farm, and they bred and sold Untreated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the PPs, it says that he sold in January last year at Keeneland for $300,000, but that was in the Paul Pompa dispersal. This colt actually sold as a yearling when the Lister sold him. Actually sold for $550,000. He was the highest priced Nyquist to sell that year.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would ever prove this, but there are more running horses that come off the Ashview farm. They had Nest, who was the favorite in the Oaks that they bred and sold. They had Mo Donegal, who was third or fourth choice in the Derby, who they bred or sold. And they have Wayne sells, because I love following it so closely. Once a month, Wayne sends me a PDF of the mares and who they're breeding them to.
Oh, that's
to
awesome.
And who the babies are by. You know how many, I'm looking at the latest one right now. You know how many brood mares they have at Ashview Farm? 39.
Wow.
Jeez. Now, there are farms in central Kentucky that have 400 and 500.
Right, exactly.
Ashview has 39 broodmares and had the favorite in the Oaks and the fourth choice in the Kentucky
Amazing.
Derby.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
They obviously have a great eye. They've got a great understanding of it. And, at some point it's just luck too, but obviously they figured out a formula that really works. And that's something we'll touch upon later in the Preakness, because Secret Oath, there's kind of a similar story behind that. They have even less mares at Breland Farm. They only have four, and they've been so successful with their horses too. So you always to hear of kind of some of those quote smaller operations, right?
Yeah,
that are
and
able to do so well.
Megan, they do it year after year. I mean, they bred Run Happy, who was a champion. They bred Johannesburg years ago, who was a champion. This isn't a one hit wonder. They do it. They do it year after year. The other horse I want to mention is the one you mentioned, Megan, and that's First Captain.
Mm-hmm.
Shug McGahee was on our show week before the Derby, talking about his filly in the Oaks. And I love Shug. I think he's a great trainer. Notice who bred this horse. We talked about him earlier. Bobby Flay bred this horse, sold him at Saratoga for $1.5 million.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think he stayed in for part of him. So,
and that's pretty common for Bobby too, because he keeps his fillies to race. That's his business plan, and he sells his colts, and that's worked out really well for him, because if you're able to get a filly that's got some great bloodlines or is able to do well on the track, then you've got more value in your brood mares, because you're more likely, I think, to have a filly that'll turn into a good broodmare prospect or whatever, have some luck on the track, than you are to get to have a colt that'll win the Kentucky Derby and go on and be a stallion prospect. Your odds are much more likely with the fillies. And so that's been his tactic, and it's worked out really well.
Yep. And so I'm on the 3 and the 8 in the special.
I like it.
There you go. All right. So we will move on to the feature of the day, the Black Eyed Susan, grade 2 for 3-year-old fillies. They're going a mile and an eighth on that dirt course, just like they do in the Kentucky Oaks, two turns at Pimlico. $250,000 race here, named for George E. Mitchell. Megan, I'll let you go ahead and go first here.
I went to the 9, Interstate Daydream at 6-1, hunting for a little bit of a price here. But again, you know, we talked about this race quite a few times already. The Ashland, that great one race at Keeneland, yep. I think is going to really, when we look back at the end of the year, that's going to be a very productive race for quite a few horses. Interstate Daydream finished 3rd behind the Great Nest that we've been hyping up. So hopefully, I hope we do see her in the Belmont Stakes. But I thought that this filly certainly, you know, ran well. She tried to keep up with the best of them there. She wasn't able to do it at the end of the race, but you know, she did have a nice effort over a mile and a 16th at Oaklawn 2 races back, where she won by 8 lengths and was very impressive that day. You get Florent Giroux back aboard. I mean, this filly seems versatile. She's got Uncle Mo on the bottom side, Classic Empire, Pioneer of the Nile on the top, so she's bred for this type of a distance, but she's also had success like her maiden special weight, her debut, where she won at 5.5 as well. So she's worked well. She's versatile. I think she's been in against some good horses. And again, this is her 3rd start off the layoff. I think her numbers are going to get better as she continues on. Obviously, if you're a buyer speed figure player, you don't see that because she ran an 89 and then a 79. But again, it was a big jump up in class and a very competitive field. So I still think that she is progressing and trending in the right directions. And Brad Cox, obviously a very talented trainer. He's had a lot of success over the past couple of years in graded stakes races. He wins at 24%. And, you know, it's across the board, it's almost just under 30% for how he's doing this year with this amount of time between races, dirt, route, graded stakes. I mean, it's right there. Plus with Laurent Giroux, he wins at 26%.
There you go. Dan?
You know, I thought, looking at this race, I thought you either had to single the 10 or you had to spread with 6, 7, 8 fillies. Now, the 10, Adair Manor, was 3-5 in the Santa Anita Oaks last time out and got beat by Desert Dawn. But Desert Dawn came back and ran 3rd in the Kentucky Oaks.
That's right.
So that might not be as bad as it looks. You look at those 2 prior starts. She won the Las Virgenes by 13 lengths, broke her maiden by 12. It looks like to me, guys, this filly has to be in front. Whenever she has been challenged on the lead, she has not won. But when she's not challenged, able to run free, you know, she wins by a pole. So I don't know. The other thing that concerns me a little bit about the favorite is, and I'm not insinuating anything here, but the horses that have been transferred away from Bob Baffert haven't seemed to run as well. Look at the 2 Derby horses. Haven't run as well. Messier. And
that's not an insinuation. That's just a statement of fact. Frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just a statement of fact.
No, it's true.
These horses aren't running as well for Tim Yatine and Sean McCarthy as they were for Bob. So, you know, after her, I think there's a lot of directions you can go. And because I'm playing the pick 5, and as we said, there's a single in the first 2 legs, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
I'm spreading in this race.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I mean, you could even include a horse like Distinctly Possible
totally
for Chad
agree.
Brown, Irad Ortiz at 6-1 as well, if that's what you're doing. So I think that's the move. That's the pick 5 sequence to play.
I think the only horse that we didn't mention by name is Luna Bell, who's the 6th horse here, is the local horse coming out of Laurel. Has done nothing wrong winning her last 5, 2nd place before that. Dennis Araujo is going to be in the mount here. Hamilton Smith, of course, training. The 2 of them hit at 24% together in Maryland over a sizable sample size. She just continues to get better and better in her races. Tried 2 turns last time for the first time, so she went from that 6 furlong, 7 furlong. The mile at Laurel is a 1-turn mile. Moved to a mile and a 16th in the Weber City last time, going 2 turns. Really like her in this. Loses Lasix, which is interesting. Doesn't get Lasix for this race,
but
a lot of the horses coming in won with Lasix last time, and so to me that's not a huge detriment to her. 9-2. I don't know if the folks on track are going to bet her down a little bit, but like you mentioned, Dan, in a longer sequence, I think that's the kind of horse that you absolutely have to include.
Well, the fact that she is even 9-2,
right,
you know,
right,
with all of these really good fillies in here, and the morning odds maker certainly thinks that she has a really good chance in here. She's kind of like I mean, obviously she's not 80-1, but she's a little bit like the Rich Strike of Black-Eyed Susan in that she's like the local horse, local connections, all of that. So, I mean, you love to see that kind of a story in a day like today.
The last horse that I'll mention is the 12 Favor, who's coming out of the Fairgrounds Oaks, ran third behind both Hidden Connection and Echo Zulu. That was her first time routing, first time going two turns. So to me, has that experience now. Pletcher really, really good at placing his horses with a little bit of time off, 25% coming back essentially after a month off, 20% on graded stakes for him. So I look for her to have a huge
Even a horse like Beguine, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, and so I think the three of us agree there.
Dan's right.
There we are.
Spread.
It's Dan's show, and Dan's right about that. All right. Well, let's get on to Saturday then. And I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to fast forward us just a little bit, Megan, past some of the early races, just so we have time to talk about the later races. Mm-hmm. Let's move to the dinner party, race 8, which is going to be... Dan, do you love these old names for stakes races like the dinner party?
Because...
it's the best, right?
Well, because it doesn't make any difference. Because you young people don't remember who any of these horses are. And for us old guys that remember when these horses ran, I think it's really cool that they have races named after them.
So there you go. Dairy Party Stakes is a grade 2. It's on the turf, a mile and a 16th, going two turns at Pimlico for $250,000, three-year-olds and up. This is actually a pretty prestigious turf race, all jokes aside. Megan, who'd you land on in the dinner party?
Well, this race was kind of interesting to handicap because there's just absolutely no obvious speed in here. You have a lot of horses that like to sit off the pace, like to close. And so I kind of went through and trying to project what that pace scenario might be and thought, all right, well, who are these horses going to be following? I mean, possibly it's the one Tango, Tango, Tango who draws the rail. Oftentimes that can be indicative of a horse that might go towards the lead early. She usually sits just off of it, but I don't know that she's ever wanted to really kind of lead them gate to wire in her race performances. Beacon Hill could be another one that's a speed horse in here. So, you know, I was kind of looking for that type of a runner because it's so devoid of that early go. But I landed on the 6 Atone in my top spot for Mike Maker. We have a saying on the show, class going class, in which, you know, horses that have done well in graded stakes races, in especially grade one races, they're just probably better than the rest of the horses if the field doesn't match up with the same types of past performances. And Atone fits that bill. Was in the Maker's Mark last time, finished fourth behind Cheryl Spite, who is an excellent horse. And, you know, before that was in the Pegasus World Cup Invitational, which is technically a grade one. Colonel Liam was in there as well. So I just think that he's had some really, really good performances at a high level. Mike Maker, Irad Ortiz, they team up together, do very nicely, win at 24%. And Mike Maker is really good in spots like this. I mean, I think he's probably a better turf trainer than almost anything else. And he's done well across the board.
Sure,
but
yeah.
I mean, on grass, that's absolutely his game. So I went with Atone and then Set Piece, who is the 8-5 favorite for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux, going to run second, start off the layoff, and maybe just wasn't totally prepared for that Maker's Mark mile. I don't know if he was 100% or not. But the one thing about a horse like Set Piece is that he, because of his really deep closing style, I mean, well off of it most of the time in his races, he runs into a lot of trouble. He makes it harder for himself. You know, you see time and time again, traffic in the stretch, you know, wasn't clear or whatever, between horses late. And so if he's able to work out the trip, which Florent Giroux is an excellent rider and certainly has done that before on him, then yes, this is your horse. But if there's any sort of traffic trouble, I think he's vulnerable in a spot like this.
I'm big on predictor races. I think the Maker's Mark Mile at Keeneland has turned into one of the 3, 4, 5 best turf races in America every year.
Yeah.
I'll trust the alums from that race, the 6 and the 3 as well, in this spot to go the two turns at Pimlico. Set Piece, always part of the equation. He finished 7th, by the way, in that Maker's Mark. This is how competitive it was. Lost by 2 lengths.
Yeah, exactly.
7th.
That was a blanket
place.
Finish.
I mean, total blanket finish, right? And so any of those horses could have won Atone, or Set Piece could have been part of that equation. And so I'm going to lean on the class there, 6-2 in the dinner party. How about you?
6-3.
Or 6-3.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on number 3, Set Piece.
Okay.
Love Brad Cox. Love the way that the horses run for him. The thing I like about it is if you look at the running line in that Maker's Mark Mile, they ran 6 furlongs in 1:13 and 1, and he's only a length and a half off of it. at that point. They run the last quarter of a mile in 22 and 3, and obviously making his first start in what, 7 months.
Right.
He figures to get tired when they're running 22 and 3. So
yeah
I think set piece wins this one for sure.
All right, race 9 starts the late pick 5. There is a force out on the pick 6, by the way, at Pimlico tomorrow. So that race we just talked about started that pick 6, 20-cent pick 6. We move now to the 50-cent pick 5, the late pick 5, the Chick Lane, grade 3. For 3-year-olds, this is their male sprint. 6 furlongs on the dirt for 3-year-olds, as I mentioned, $200,000 purse here. Some horses that I think people probably in this part of the country might not have seen if they're not paying attention to tracks on the East Coast or in Arkansas. But, Dan, do you have a favorite in the Chick Lane?
A sentimental one I'm picking with my head or one I'm picking with my heart.
What you do with your head and heart, Dan, is your business, buddy.
I've made this personal. We've got another mayor.
All right.
Sometimes you're smart in this business, and sometimes you're just lucky.
Uh-huh.
And we signed a contract before the first of the year on Not This Time.
Oh, you lucky.
For $45,000.
Wow.
He has since been moved to $75,000. Mm-hmm. And it would not surprise me if next year he's not $100,000 or higher. And so obviously Cogburn, because our mayor, who is a candy ride mayor, and we'll talk about that later when we talk about the Preakness, but we have a candy ride mayor, our best mayor, is in fold to Not This Time for a foal of next year.
So that's awesome.
That's who I'm pulling for with my heart. However, I was at Keeneland on the 8th of April when Old Homestead won the Lafayette. Ed, you could not have been more impressive. He beat Surfer Dude by 3 3/4 lengths, and Surfer Dude came back to win at Churchill pretty easily in his next start. So, and there's Chasing Time, another Not This mm-hmm. Time in there. But I, as much as I'd like to see Cogburn win, I think this is an Old Homestead single.
Wow. Okay.
That's what I landed on last night. That's
really
interesting. Yeah, I think he is just so fast. And Brett Brinkman, Tom Papel, he's just fast. And I think he's going to bring that speed to Pimlico. And I think he's going to win by 2 or 3.
All right. I disagree.
I know you do. That's great.
I mean, I agree. Old Homestead was super impressive at Keeneland. And, you know, that surprised a lot of people because he had come in from Delta Downs, which is a lower tier track than Keeneland. That just call a spade, right? And he was just over 9-1, I believe, that day. And so he wasn't a horse that was intended to do, you know, as well as he did and run a race like that. This would, I believe, I looked it up last night, be the first graded stakes win for trainer Brett Brinkman if he's able to get that done. He has placed in multiple stakes races before that, but this would certainly be a big day for him. My concern with this horse is that he has only ever been on the lead, and I do think that there is some other speed horses in here. You get a horse like Little Vic on the outside, and pardon me, I didn't look up scratches this morning, so you have to tell me if I mention a horse that's scratched, but Little Vic on the outside has speed. Dr. Jeff, the 3-horse, has speed. Lightning Larry, the 2-horse, has speed. And Cogburn, who you mentioned, also has speed. And so it's a possible scenario for me where you have a horse like that, like Old Homestead, where he's got one move. And oftentimes I feel like some horses that, I don't want to insult anybody, but sometimes cheaper horses, let's say, right, that run at tracks like Delta Downs that are kind of not your Kentucky breds that run some of these bigger races, they are a bit one-dimensional. They're fast sometimes, but that's what they've got. Oftentimes they don't come from off the pace. And so I wonder for a horse like Old Homestead if that makes him vulnerable. I personally went with the Steve Asmussen / Not This Time exacta with Cogburn, the 1-horse who you mentioned, who does have some speed. So he'll be in that pace scenario. He draws the rail. That's going to favor his running style. He's running third start off the layoff. He's improved with every start. His numbers are just excellent. So I have him way on top. And then the six horse, Chasing Time for Steve Asmussen as well. They tried him in some pretty tough spots. They tried to put him on the Kentucky Derby trail. I think part of that is likely due to the fact that his ownership group is My Racehorse, and they, you know, like to give their owners the experience, which is awesome. But I do think that they may have kind of pushed him a little bit in a direction where he wasn't going to succeed as much. Now, I will say his last race in the Arkansas Derby was terrible. And there is a reason for that. He actually bred on a scale of five. He bled a 3 out of 5. So pulmonary hemorrhaging, which is oftentimes what they, you know, that's what you use Lasix for, is to try to prevent that or lessen that. Obviously, he cannot run without Lasix. He has not run without Lasix in a number of his races and won without it. But they did bring him to the hyperbaric chamber at a rehab facility after that to try to, you know, get him to heal from it. And I think with Tyler Gaffalione aboard, he's ridden this horse before. He's an excellent rider. Steve Asmussen is very good in spots like this. And the fact that this horse sits off the pace, to me, he absolutely factors as part of a, you know, an exacta if you want to include him, or at least in your top three, especially at a 12-to-1 price.
All right, Dan, why don't you take us to break here, and then we'll finish up with the late pick four tomorrow.
Yeah, Megan, I pray you're right on that one. I would love to see not this time get another stakes victory. A reminder that this portion of Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issla has been brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. At Delta Dental of Kentucky, they believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Just call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030. Or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back, everybody, on this Black Eyed Susan Day. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Vision, everybody has one. That epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees. And the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of the low rates to refinance your home mortgage to get cash out and finance your dreams. Give the folks over at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at stockton.com. NMLS 8259, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, Equal Housing Lender. And Louie, we are up to the final pick four. Is it? Yeah, pick four.
That's right.
Tomorrow on the Preakness card, and we start with the Murphy $100,000 race on the grass.
That's right. And just so people know locally, the Maryland Jockey Club, their takeout rate on pick fives is 12%, one of the lowest in the country. And so the bets to make at Pimlico are the pick fives for sure. But we are going to talk pick four here. As you mentioned, the Murphy 1 mile on the turf for 3-year-olds, 100K guaranteed in this one. Megan, who'd you land on?
I went to the five horse in here, ready to perform for Brad Cox, and Florent Giroux hasn't raced yet in 2022, but that doesn't worry me too much because trainer Brad Cox wins at 26% when bringing horses back off an extended layoff. Seems just a little bit pace dependent. He is going to get Lasix for the first time out of three starts already, rather. He's won two of them. This will be his fourth effort. They put him in a stakes race at Del Mar, and he finished seventh, albeit only beaten by four lengths as the favorite. He had to go a bit wide that day. I don't know how well he shipped all the way across the country, but he's kind of been the buzz horse a little bit for the Brad Cox barn. You know, a lot of people kind of taking some pictures of him. He has the same exercise rider, Katie Tolbert, I believe is her name, who gets on a lot of Brad's best horses recently. And so I definitely think Ready to Perform seems to be the horse that is going to pop a big one here this weekend. And then the seven, Riot House, I thought about for Danny Gargan and Luis Saez, who's run some pretty strong races of late at Gulfstream Park, both on the turf course. So I went towards that, but I really, really like the five Ready to Perform. So I even thought about a possible single.
Oh, wow. Okay. I actually have Riot House, the seven, on top here, as you mentioned, won both of his races at 3 years old, both on Lasix. Stays in that condition in this race, won recently over the mile at Gulfstream Park, will likely inherit the lead, and we'll have to lean on Luis Saez to rate properly there. Totally agree about the five. Huge angle here, 42% winners with first-time Lasix for Brad Cox. And so this is a massive angle for this horse. Coming in 26% off the layoff, 25% in stakes, and 26% with Florent Giroux. I also like Joe, who's the 10 horse here. actually won the Tasio. Had he been nominated for the Triple Crown, would have a free entry into the Preakness. But they're trying him on the turf here. Instead, has been working really well. Trainer Michael Trombetta goes 14% dirt to turf. And so he'll land in the third spot for me. So I actually landed 7, 5, and 10.
Who would name a horse Joe?
Just Joe.
Someone who likes coffee.
The Elkstone Group, rather.
They ought to have their owner's license revoked for naming a horse Joe. However, that's where I landed. I like a couple of things. His numbers, as you said earlier, Megan, his numbers just keep getting better and better. Mm-hmm. I think by declaration of war, who is a warfront stallion out of an arch mare, mm-hmm. I think he's going to absolutely love two turns on the grass. He had a nice blowout on the 16th. And so, you really can't go wrong, as you pointed out. Riot House is undefeated on the grass since he's been going two turns, and the trainers don't come better than Brad Cox. But mm-hmm. I think you might get a little better price on Joe, and that's where I land.
I think you're right about the breeding, for sure, with Declaration of War and the arch part. My one concern was that he did have that one race, but it was his debut, and oftentimes it just takes horses a little while to put it together. So that only turf race that we have so far was a loss for him, but you're right. I mean, top and bottom, he certainly feels like he'll fit a race like this.
All right, so late pick three here starts with race 11, the Sir Barton, a mile and a 16th on the dirt for three-year-olds, 100K guaranteed. In this one, we see the Lucas Scratch out of the Derby, Ethereal Road, which of course led to Rich Strike drawing in and drawing away at the finish line. And so to me, you either really like Ethereal Road or you spread a bit in this race. I think there are other ones stretching out for the first time are going to be the other likely favorites. So I think a horse like the six, Mr. Jefferson, coming in off a strong second in the Federico Tessio, which is the Preakness prep, third time routing, I think he's ready to break through in this kind of company. But my other long shot for this weekend is in this race. I really like the four, Addison Poor. Never missed the board in four tries and has won over two turns against winners. This is, again, Brittany. Brittany, I'm leaning on her again. Brittany and Hevion in Maryland. Speed figure has improved in every single race. So 15-1 morning line, my long shot of the week is actually in this race, the four, Addison Poor.
Yeah, I mean, if you like Brad Cox, I think you certainly have to like Brittany Russell. I believe that before she was Brittany Russell, I forget what her maiden name was.
That's why I tripped up because my brain went to the ear.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I believe she was the assistant for Brad Cox for a long time. So she, you know, came up under that barn. So I personally think this is a spread race. If you're structuring a ticket like we talked about with the pick four, I know I'm going to shorten up. I'm at a single epicenter in the Preakness. And so I think that you
possibly. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly. I think that you are. You might find yourself with a pricier. I do like Ethereal Road. His best effort, let's say, is the Rebel, right? The grade two event where he finished second to Unoho. But that race was such a just weird event, you know, that I don't know that I am willing to trust it. Then he didn't perform in the Bluegrass. He didn't really perform in the Lexington with that short rest. He is a hunk of a horse. Let me just tell you that. I mean, he is compact and strong looking. Like, his neck is twice as thick as a horse's neck usually should be. He's like, oh my gosh, he looks like a bodybuilder. And he's been working really well. And so I like him in here, but I don't love him. I think you can also look at a horse like Brooklyn Diamonds, who's the 9 at 10 to 1 for Rudolph Brousset, who's a very, very good trainer, longtime assistant for trainer Bill Mott, Hall of Famer, of course. And Florent Giroux jumps aboard here, but this horse has had some pretty decent performances over the wintertime at Oaklawn Park. So that's a possibility. I mean, I think you can even look at the horse, like you mentioned, Louis, the Addison Poor, the 4 horse for a price, and possibly the 8. So I think there's a number of directions that you can go in here. And it almost seems like one of those where you might find a local horse jump up, maybe even Golden Eyes at 20 to 1, you know, for a trainer and jockey combination that does pretty well at this track. So this, to me, seemed like one of the more confusing races on the card.
I couldn't agree more, Megan. I think this race is wide, wide open. This might even be an all on my pick five.
Agree.
I don't like Coach Lucas's horse. I thought the Rebel kind of fell apart, and he didn't run well in the Bluegrass. I don't know how strong the Lexington was. You look at, by the way, the Addison Poor. Named by the same people who named Joe, so I don't know what the. Although
you've
my
got
granddaughter,
an issue with that,
my granddaughter is named Addison, so okay. maybe I have to throw him in.
Where, yeah, you didn't like Skippy Longstocking either.
look at the 5 horse, B Doc. Where did that race come from? I mean, his numbers racing at Santa Anita. They shipped him up to Golden Gate, which if you're going to ship a horse from Santa Anita up to Golden Gate, you're begging to break the horse's maiden, because that's a real
step. 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, real step down. And he gets beat. Where did that last race come from? He runs a 92 buyer figure and wins at Keeneland by 11 and a quarter lengths. I don't think you can trust that. I mean, there's you can come up with a whole lot more reasons why a horse isn't going to win this race than he is.
Right.
And so I don't even know where to start. I don't know where to go.
I think you're right. I think it's
in
an
my
all
pick five. In my pick five, this is going to be an all for me.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So we'll move on then to that late double leading into the Preakness with race 12, the Turf Sprint, the Jim McKay Turf Sprint. 5 furlongs on that turf course there at Pimlico for 3-year-olds and up $100,000 guaranteed in this one. And I landed on 2 horses to try to shorten up the sequence, because we just talked about a race where we feel like we're going to have
horses
to spread. Right. The all button in double digits.
Yeah.
Never satisfying to the wallet, but here we are. I think you grab 2 here. The 2, Carotari, is running well of late, coming in off performances against Good Company in the 3.7 cents. 1 last out at Keeneland at a high level allowance. 4 straight 90 plus speed figures here. So I'm going to go 2 and 3, shorten up a little bit in the McKay.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I went 3 and 2, so just flip them for my order. But I felt like these horses had the best turf experience. You know, you get a horse like the 1, Bank, who I was tempted to kind of think about maybe, but there's just no, you know, proof that this horse is going to perform on turf. And so I wasn't sure about that. I mean, I certainly think Steve Asmussen brings his horses here with a lot of good intention. And you get Joel Rosario aboard, who was on him last time. But I think if you're going to shorten up on those tickets, it's the 3.7 cents at 4 to 1 and the 2, Carotari, at 9 to 5 for the reasons that you mentioned.
Absolutely. And 7 cents, a very interesting horse.
Agreed.
You see a lot of horses get claimed from Brad. We had one in the spring that Brad was training for us that got claimed at Keeneland. But you don't see him claim too many horses. And a race before last, they claimed this horse down at the fairgrounds for $80,000. Mm-hmm. So that's a step out there. So 2 and 3 for me. The other horse I'm going to throw in, is Hollis. Been running it at Oak Lawn. Has some turf way back. Hasn't been on the turf recently. But I like his last few races. And John Ortiz knows his way around a horse. So I'm going to throw the 9 in Hollis as well. Before we get to the Preakness, I want to thank George Timmering and the Bear Nose team for bringing in lunch today to the ESPN studios. Bear Nose has you covered for all of the big races this weekend. Remember, they're right next door to the KFC Yum Center, so if you want to grab a great pizza before the concerts or after the concerts, that's the place to go. Carry out, delivery, or dine in. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, instead of just going straight to who's your pick, we're going to play a game of yes or no, all right? And we're going to say, do you have the hit or myth sound over there by chance? I'm just kidding. Essentially, we're going to just go 1 through 9, Dan, and I'm going to mention a horse, and you say, yay, horse can win the Preakness, nay, horse is not going to win the Preakness. And if you could do the nay to sound like you're a horse, that would be even better.
Is it win or like deserves to be in this race?
Win.
Okay.
Because are you just going to say nay 8 times and yeah. then yay 1 time? Okay, great. All right. So, so we'll start with Dan with the in the one hole simplification.
He certainly has a chance. He's by not this time out of the candy ride.
There it is. So
he's got a big shot to win this race.
Dan is rooting for simplification. There you go. Megan, yay or nay?
I mean, I'm going to say nay because Epicenter, again, is my pick. However, I think that he's certainly a horse that's deserving to be in this spot. It took me a really long time to jump on the bandwagon with this one. People were really hot on him early on, and I kept doubting him. But he consistently has put in some very good efforts, and it looks like he's, you know, shown some different form. He came from well off the pace in the Derby. Obviously, that's tough with a 20-horse field, but he's had the lead before. He sat off the pace. His versatility, especially drawing the one hole here and in this particular field, really gives him a good shot to at least hit the board.
I'm a yay. We can hit the sounder there. I was on simplification ahead of the Fountain of Youth, and then he has let me down since, but here we are. all right. We'll go to the two. We talked with Kenny McPeak yesterday. Dan, we'll go to you again first here. Creative Minister, yay or nay to win the Preakness?
Nay.
Yeah, boy.
You know, I just think it's too. This is a very talented horse. As Kenny told us yesterday, he'd been working right with Rattle and Roll all winter, and Rattle and Roll won a grade one last year as a 2-year-old. Very talented horse. I think they're throwing too much at him. You know, remember, we talk about coming back 2 weeks after the Derby. This horse is coming back after 2 weeks. He won an allowance race on the Derby undercard, so I don't think so.
He's a nay for me. I think he's outside the top 5. I think he hits the board in the Belmont, though. How about you, Megan?
Yeah, he's a nay for me.
Nay for me. All right. Moving on to Fenwick, 50-1 on the morning line for Kevin McCathen, who we talked about on the show last night with Frenchie Florent-Joux picking up the mount here. Megan, yay or nay on the long shot?
Nope.
Dan?
Big nay.
And I, big too. Nay.
He is the Rich Strike of the Preakness.
There you go. And I, too, will give you some
sound. But not going to win.
Winning, then.
No. Hold on a minute. Let me confirm. He will be closer to 80-1 than the 50-1 morning line odds, I think. Go.
I am also a nay on Fenwick. We move on to the filly, though. Secret Oath, the 4 here for Wayne Lucas and Luis Saez, winner of the Kentucky Oaks here 15 days. 14 days ago today, but 15 days ago tomorrow. We'll go to you, Dan. Is she got a shot?
She's going to be a nay for me. And not that she's not a talented filly. Her numbers don't match up with the Colts. The Arkansas Derby, I thought, was just a terrible race, and why Contreras got replaced on her. But if you look at her, she ran December 31st, January, February, April 2nd, May 6th. I think Secret Oath running against the Colts here might be a little over the top.
Megan?
I think she is it possible to hit the board, but I do not think that she wins. I agree with Dan in that her numbers, to me, just do not match up with the horses that I prefer in this field. You know, she has done a lot of good, and I think she probably could have had a much better result, like Dan said, in the Arkansas Derby. I didn't love the ride that Louis Contreras gave her. Not for me, but I loved her, you know, leading up to the Oaks, thinking that, I mean, Ness was my favorite, but she was just such a physically imposing type of a filly. I mean, body type wise, she almost looks like a colt, you know, and that type of a body performs really well over the Churchill Downs surface. I think you can get away with a little bit of more of a slight figure here over the Pimlico surface personally, but I still don't think that she matches up to Epicenter.
I'm a yay on Secret Oath. I think she's got a legit shot here, especially if Epicenter for some reason just doesn't fire. I do expect him to fire, but here we are. I think I'm going to be controversial here. We move to the five early voting. I am a big nay on early voting. I think the Chad Brown Shooter from New York and the Preakness is super overrated. And so I am a nay on early voting. What say you, Megan?
I'm a nay on this one, too.
Okay. Dan?
I'm a nay, and we're probably all stupid.
I mean, I put him in my top four. You know, he's a horse that I think can hit the board, but I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
All right. We go to the Doug O'Neill-trained Happy Jack, who picks up Tyler for the Preakness. Ran a solid 14th in the Derby. And after starting in 18th and 20th positions, got up to 14th by the end there. Dan, go ahead and say nay.
Nay. The only person connected with this show that's going to pick this horse is Jack Grossman.
Damn right I am.
This horse broke his mane. We talked about this a little bit the other day. Brad Kelly, who owns Calumet, he likes being in these big races, yeah, and he's pulled it off every once in a while. But this horse has not been in. He broke his maiden at 6 furlongs, has not been within 10 lengths in his next 4 starts. No shot.
Mm-hmm. And Jack, if you don't have 5 across on him, you're a terrible person. All right.
Oh, trust me. I did it in the Derby, and I will again. And I,
there you go.
And anyway, I'm very aware that I'm just giving
it. I totally get it.
To inspires my money.
$15.
In that,
yeah. All right. So the 7 Armagnac.
Wait. Do I not get to go?
Megan, Happy Jack.
Okay. Despite the fact that his sire... Oxbow did in fact win the Preakness, which is kind of funny because I think people forget that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I personally
nice
am not. No, I don't think he's that nice of a horse. I feel like it was kind of a happy accident, that race. That was a weird year, and that was a weird race. And again, he's kind of the prime example of that. He's a smaller, slider type of a horse. He just kind of skipped across the Pimlico surface.
Yep.
I have not been a huge fan of a lot of the offspring, and I don't think Happy Jack belongs here. I agree with Dan in that. Listen, the win over 6 furlongs at Santa Anita in a maiden special weight is not going to win the Preakness, even if you add the blinkers. I don't care what you add on him. Our producer, JD, last night was like, you could add blinkers, winkers, blinders, like wings to this horse, you know, and I still don't think he's going to get there. So, yeah, that's an A for me.
There you go. So Armagnac ships in from Southern California. This is one of those previously trained by Bob Baffert entries.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is from our conversation earlier, Dan, that you are an A.
I'm a nay. The horse has to have the lead, and I don't think that he gets an easy lead in this race.
I'm a nay as well, Megan.
Nay.
Okay. I imagine all of us, as we get inside of 60 seconds here, Dan, Epicenter, yay or nay for you?
The winner.
Yes.
Okay. I think all three of us are on him. Sometimes you don't have to overthink these things. Skippy Longstocking coming in right behind early voting out of the wood. Junior Alvarado,
nay.
Megan, nay for
nay,
you,
nay,
and a nay for me. All right, thanks, Dan.
Hey, guys, this has been so much fun. I love talking about horses, and it's fun to talk with people who are as knowledgeable as you two. It's been a lot of fun. Good luck today
and
tomorrow, betting the races.
Horse racing happy hour. Check us out.
Yeah, we'll be back on Monday to brag about all of the winners. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the Preakness, and we'll see you at 10 o'clock on Monday. Have a great day, everybody.